Harmonia, the ancient word for the union of melody and harmony and the music of the spheres. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join me for the next hour as today's performers of medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque music bring to life the music of the distant past. American lutenist Paul Odet joins Harmonia to talk about his recording of pieces by Marco Dall'Aquila. Gregory Gayhern directs the Indiana University Pro Arte Ensemble in choral music from the Spanish Renaissance, and Los Músicos de Su Alteza performs in a world premiere recording of Villancicos by Joseph Ruiz Samaniego. Let's take a quick look back in time, in the Harmonia time capsule. We spun the wheel and landed on 1589, a year of news and a year to remember. The news from France is one of tragedy and rebirth. At the beginning of August, the Dominican friar Jacques Clément assassinated King Henry III. Clément attacked the king after being granted access to him, but was not immediately successful. King Henry initially suffered a stab wound to the abdomen and seemed fine, but the wound later proved fatal. The king passed away the next morning. Leaving no immediate heirs, Henry III of Navarre was named king. Once crowned, his new title was Henry IV, the first of a long line of French Bourbon monarchs, which included Louis XIII through XVI. In other royal news from 1589, the future James I of England and current King of Scotland married the 14-year-old Anne of Denmark, the second daughter of King Frederick II of Denmark. James I is remembered as the dedicatee of the English translation of the Bible, best known as the King James Version, published in 1611. Another significant wedding took place in Italy, the marriage between Ferdinando I de Medici, Grand Duke of Tuscany, and Christine of Lorraine took place in Tuscany. Among the wedding celebrations was a performance of Girolamo Bargagli's comedy La Pellegrina, which is famous not for the comedy itself, but for the music which surrounded it. Known as the Six Intermedi of 1589, the music was described as the most spectacular and expensive display of its kind, with many composers, poets, performers, and artists recruited to present it. Among the distinguished composers who contributed music were Luca Marenzio, Giulio Caccini, Antonio Archilei, Jacopo Peri, Cristofano Malvezzi, and Emilio di Cavalieri, a kind of who's who from the closing of the Italian Renaissance. This has been a glimpse back in time to the year 1589. I'm Angela Mariani. More about the history of the King James Bible and other events, people and music mentioned in this time capsule, can be found in Harmonia's new online shop at harmoniaearlymusic.org/shop. Paolo Det is one of the finest lutenists in the world. He's a critically acclaimed and award-winning performer, as well as a distinguished teacher and scholar, who has championed the music of Renaissance composers throughout his career, releasing numerous recordings of well-known and obscure music. Paul continues to leave his unique stamp on early music, and in particular, the early repertoire for lute and guitar. One of Paolo Det's more recent projects involved recording lute pieces by Marco dall'Aquila, an important performer and composer from Renaissance Italy. Paul recently spoke with me about dall'Aquila and the importance of his music.
Marco dall'Aquila was one of the most important lutenist composers of the early 16th century. He's listed in a lot of documents as being among the musicians on the top of Mount Parnassus. He was often named alongside Francesco da Milano and Albert de Ripe as the Orpheuses of their time. And he was clearly one of the most admired and esteemed instrumentalists in the first half of the 16th century in Italy. The problem is he received a privilege from the Signoria in Venice in 1505 to publish his music. He had worked with a pupil of Gutenberg in L'Aquila, and they had developed a way of publishing lute music and got permission from the Doge to publish in Venice, and he never did. And it's not clear why he never went ahead with this publishing enterprise, but it seems likely that Petrucci had a lot of very powerful friends and managed to threaten or intimidate Marco into not publishing his music, because the first publication of solo lute music were published by Petrucci in Venice in 1507 and 1508. And Marco's surviving music is only found in manuscript, and in rather corrupt manuscripts at that. So I've always been interested in his music and have played it quite a bit in concert, but there are a lot of problems surrounding the sources, a lot of wrong notes, a lot of wrong rhythms, missing notes, missing bars, all kinds of problems with the sources. And a couple of years ago, the Musicological Association of the Abruzzo asked me if I would collaborate with a local musicologist in L'Aquila to make an edition of the collected lute music of Marco. So we started that project 3 years ago with Maurizio Pratola. And as part of this project, they asked me if I could make a recording, because they thought that would make a wonderful package to have the edition of the music and a recording. So we agreed to do that. Plans were made to record it in or near L'Aquila, which is a wonderful, or was, a wonderful medieval city right at the foot of the highest mountain in Italy, the Gran Sasso, that is outside of the Alps, highest mountain in the Apennines. So we started scouting out possible locations in 2008 and found some wonderful medieval monasteries in the hills outside of L'Aquila. Thank you.
lute music of Marco dall'Aquila, Paolo Depp performed three pieces from his recording devoted to the music of dall'Aquila on the Harmonia Mundi label. Hundreds of archived episodes, videos, podcasts, and much more can be found online at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Welcome back to Harmonia. Lutenist Paolo Dett has joined us to explore the music of Marco dall'Aquila. Paolo Dett's experience in recording dall'Aquila's music was met with unexpected challenges. In April of 2009, the city of L'Aquila, Italy, where he planned to make the recording, suffered a catastrophic earthquake. What was initially supposed to be another recording project turned into a deeply personal experience. Paolo Dett explains here.
And then on April 6th last year, the horrible and devastating earthquake struck, which destroyed most of the medieval villages around L'Aquila and totally demolished the center of the city. So fortunately, my friend Maurizio survived because he and his family lived in the medieval center of town. Their neighbors, many of them, did not survive. At that point, we debated whether to record in Canada, as we've done many of my solo recordings, in a wonderful concert hall in northern Quebec. I felt very strongly that the connection to L'Aquila was even more important after the earthquake, that this needed to be a contribution to the cultural history of an area that had lost so much of its history through this earthquake, that there are many, many frescoes and churches and so on that are simply lost forever. They cannot be rebuilt because they're simply dust at this point. And I thought to make a contribution to their cultural history was important in and of itself, but if it could be made there in a historic structure, that would have even more meaning to them. But this was a very special recording. It was a very emotional recording for me because I've been to L'Aquila many times. I have some very close friends there, and the earthquake hit me very hard, and I wanted to give back. So I felt that this recording of one of their great Renaissance heroes, who is listed in poetry and accounts of the time in L'Aquila as one of their great local heroes, was a very important thing to do. So was it an ideal situation? No, but I think it was the right decision for the circumstance that we were given. And an aside to this, my colleague Maurizio Pratola, with whom I co-edited the edition of the lute works of Marco dall'Aquila, sadly developed cancer and died a few weeks ago, but I was able to get a copy of the recording to him the night before he died, and he heard this recording a few hours before he passed away, and apparently he had a big smile on his face and said he was so happy that we had made this recording. Thank you.
Paulodet performed lute pieces by Marco dall'Aquila, one of the most important lutenists of the late Renaissance. You're listening to Harmonia, a program of early music that comes to you from the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. Partial support for Harmonia comes from Penco Incorporated of Bedford, Indiana. Partial support also comes from Early Music America, publisher of Early Music America magazine, on the web at earlymusic.org. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back to Harmonia. We've been exploring the lute music of Marco dall'Aquila. Up next, we continue with a Renaissance theme with the choral music of Spain. The most influential Spanish Renaissance composer before Victoria was Cristobal de Morales, a native of Sevilla. Trained as a singer and organist, Morales wrote primarily for the church, yet a few villancicos and madrigals by him survive. After he passed away, his reputation grew as his music spread to France, Germany, Italy, the Low Countries, and Spain, as well as the New World, where at the end of the 1550s, his music was sung in Mexico to commemorate Emperor Charles V. Another far-flung place where Morales' music was performed during the 16th century was Luanda, the capital of Angola. Records give an account of the singing of a mass and a motet. Morales composed for every possible church occasion, including masses, motets, lamentations, requiems, and magnificats.
Magnificat, anima mea
Thank you.
the Indiana University Pro Arte singers perform Cristobal de Morales' Magnificat Primitoni. Gregory Gayhern directed. Music or other items purchased through HarmoniaEarlyMusic.org also support the production of this program. Our featured release is a world premiere alpha label recording of Villancicos by Spanish Baroque composer Joseph Ruiz Samaniego. The Zaragoza-based ensemble Los Músicos de Su Alteza, directed by Luis Antonio González, performs select works mostly dedicated to Our Lady of the Pillar, patron virgin of Zaragoza and of the city's cathedral. Samaniego was chapel master at the cathedral during the 17th century and composed prolifically during his tenure.
Thank you. Thank you.
ensemble Los Músicos de Su Alteza, performed in a featured Alpha label release of a couple of villancicos and a toccata by Spanish Baroque composer Joseph Ruiz Samaniego. Based in Zaragoza, Spain, the ensemble is directed by Luis Antonio González. Speaking of featured recordings, Harmonia also produces a short weekly podcast in which our writer, Bernard Gordillo, digs through recently released and classic recordings to bring you the very best from the world of early music. You can subscribe to the podcast at WFIU.org or through iTunes. Support for Harmonia comes in part by the Crystal DeHaan Family Foundation, serving organizations in central Indiana and recognizing the children and families of Crystal House International. Much of the music you hear on Harmonia, as well as books and early music gift items, are available online at harmoniaearlymusic.org/shop. Items purchased through links on our website also support the production of this program. The writer for this edition of Harmonia was Bernard Gordillo. Thanks to our studio engineer, Mike Pashkash, and our staff, Carrie Boyce, David Wood, Luann Johnson, and Scott Witzke. Additional technical support comes from KOHM at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. Special thanks to Harmonia Mundi and WXXI Public Broadcasting in Rochester, New York. Listeners who enjoy Harmonia may also enjoy WFIU's Ether Game Musical Mini Quiz podcast, available for download at WFIU.org, with a click on the podcast button. Harmonia is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Christina Kuzmich is our executive producer, and I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.